traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
One conversation with me, I swear to God, by the end of the hour, I would have had him second guessing his $1.7 billion experiment. One, bro. As dumb as I look, I feel like I got sort of a semi-good finger on the pulse when it comes to social media platforms. Let's talk about David Dobrik's dispo.
My expenses may be higher than my income. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Welcome back. Hit that subscribe button. Here we are for yet another fiery week. Yeah. Halloween. Yeah. Halloween is this weekend, I think.
Wow. I didn't even know we started.
Well, that'll happen sometimes when you're looking at your phone, not paying attention.
You guys were just talking about... Okay, I'm so sorry.
Well, welcome back. So here we are.
Monday.
Yep. Monday's good to go. We had an interesting weekend. A lot of big stuff happening. What do we start with? All right, let's do Halloween,
dude. You said spooky season.
It's spooky season.
Has returned.
My girlfriend, Josie, she loves it. Really? I feel like most girls do. Girls love Halloween in general. Are there any guys who are like overly ecstatic about Halloween, or is that just like non-existent thing?
I feel like probably the makeup world. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I feel like the James Charles of the world, like those kind of guys.
It just fits. It fits you so well. Like me, like every girl is going to look so like hot and have a costume that they've been planning for 365 days. And I'll get into what we planned out if that's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is that a question or an answer?
I'm kind of just talking.
Well, that's what a podcast is.
Have you planned your costume out with your girl yet?
Nothing. Dude, I don't even like Halloween on a regular Halloween.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
You know what it is? I figured it out because we pretend to be so many things. Like, as actors, entertainers, we do this all year long that, like, in my mind, it's taking one day out of the year to go to the store, put on a costume. I don't like this. This is annoying.
Why do girls like it so much?
I think it's because... they get to like dress up. Girls like to dress up when they're like younger. You know what I mean? Like we played with action figures and shit like that. Girls like to dress up, so this is their excuse of being like, "Fuck yeah, I get to dress up," and they get to be a princess and lie to themselves and think that they're a princess. And they're like, "I'm like, yo, we go to the party." They're like, "I'm a princess." Like, no, you're a slut, but it's okay.
Wow.
Okay, I'm kidding.
But you're also,
kidding.
No, you're
but
not.
You're also right in a way too, because
I'm a slutty princess.
It's the one day of the year where all the good girls get to be sluts, and it's okay. You know what I'm saying? It's okay for you to come to the party with the assless chaps on. I'm a cowboy slut.
I don't like it when they take like innocent things and make them like, you know what I mean? Like, how would you feel if a Squirtle came out and it was just like
slutty Squirtle?
They're squirting from here, not from here.
Well, no, slutty Squirtle sounds good, but the girl from Frozen being slutty, now that you've crossed the line.
No, she was a slut from day one. Really? Look at her. Look at her, bro.
I don't know if you can say that about a Disney princess.
You can't. Let's cut that.
I feel like we're in all kinds of trouble at the beginning.
Should we start over?
No. Listen, if you want to be sexually promiscuous at any time of the year, male or female, you go for it.
We encourage it.
That's what I'm saying.
We encourage it.
No, bro, it's a fun time to it. Yeah. It's an exploratory night. Here's the thing, dude. Josie is so into it, and I'm so not. I couldn't tell you how not into it I am. I just want to be something like simple, creative, and I like going the opposite route. I like being ugly. I like being funny, right?
Shrek.
So like I'm pitching ideas to Josie. I was like, "Yo, we could be like these people,
is amazing.
The Pitchfork Man and the lady."
It's called American Gothic.
American Gothic.
Yeah. That is amazing. If you do that,
like, yo,
that is amazing.
It's fantastic. But yo, do you think for a second Josie was buying that? Do you think she's going to dress up like that elderly woman with the middle part? No, Michael.
It would show her depth.
She wouldn't.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what she wants to do on Halloween. I can't wait. Everybody's gonna see how depth I am. Yo, by the way, I was gonna fix myself, but then you guys went through it. I was like, nah, run with it. Just to clarify, I was joking in the beginning, but this is a serious reason why I think girls are excited. Just I had to clarify because there's people watching the podcast like, fuck George, I hate him now. This is why I think girls get excited. Are you ready for this? I think it's the time that they could be a little slutty and not be judged.
He's gonna say that's what we just said.
Well, you're just talking about something we already talked about. I prefer to just keep going if that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You can do that too.
Okay, cool, cool. Anyways, yeah, so this didn't pass the Josie test. We thought about maybe being SpongeBob and Patrick, but man, just like every other couple, we started talking about stuff and we ended on a couple options. Fred and Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been good, right?
That's cool.
And then we landed on... No, we can't do Pokemon because it'd be weird, dude. Like, at what point is it
too
oversaturated?
Much,
yeah. Like, look in front of me. I got little like fucking Pokemon figurines. It's getting weird. Zelda and Link. We're gonna be
That's
Zelda
great.
And yeah. Link, right? Yeah, real old school.
Zelda and Link.
You don't know Zelda and Link?
No.
Zelda and Link. It's a video game.
Got you.
Yeah. Look at it right here. Come on, dude. I don't have red hair, but I have a red beard. And so and so we landed on Zelda and Link. I was like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. And then Josie starts like bringing up the costume that she's going to get. And immediately it went right to slutty Zelda. Look it. She chose something like this. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, wow, it's so hot. But
it looks like she only has one quest. It's a cum quest.
but okay, so here she is. She's going to look bomb, dude. She's going to look so great. And me, as Link, they just, like, I can't be slutty Link. I'm a guy, right? Like, I can't. Like, look at, is this going to be me? Like, is this me? Like, my girl is looking like a princess goddess, and I'm just some nerdy-looking dude in scrubs?
Yeah, but no, but you can, guys can sexy up the costume, too.
How, Michael? Just, I have no tits. I don't.
No,
I barely
ready,
have an ass.
Ready for this?
Show the bulge.
Good point. You make that little... drapery he's using as a top there, you do it into a cutoff and you show those pythons.
Oh, the V-neck?
No, well, that too. Yeah, you could deep V it, but you also show the pythons coming out the side. Man.
How do you say pythons like that?
Pythons.
Are dudes allowed to be douchey on Halloween? Or like, because girls can be slutty and it's fine. But if I like go extra douche, I'm going to be like, oh, he's like cut his V extra deep.
No, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. They're going to say that shit about you anyways. Like, you're Logan Paul, bro. Somebody's going to have something to fucking say.
Yeah.
True. You know what I'm saying?
True. Or they could be like, wow, this whole year he's been a douche, and this one day he can't be a douche for 2 minutes.
No, I want to be this, with a long hat, the long pointy hat, and a sword.
Oh, so you guys are going with this?
Yeah, we're rocking it.
Oh, okay.
She's getting her costume right now. It's Monday. We had the conversation last night. I had to stop her, by the way.
She's like, is there anything else we want to be? I need to keep looking.
It needs to be perfect. And I'm like, holy shit. Easy, Tiger. Like, what? And she's already at the store right now getting her costume. She looks great. It's going to be great.
Where are you guys going with these costumes?
Nowhere. That's the whole art of it.
Oh, yeah, nowhere.
There's obviously nowhere to go. But that's cool, though. You take pictures.
I respect that.
Me and my girl are doing one of the, you know, we're copying off of one of the greatest celebrity couples, one of the strongest ever, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
What are you gonna, like, how does that work? Like,
well, just a great celebrity couple. They're still together, yeah?
No, they're not.
Oh, you?
Is this how you're rolling into it?
No, what?
He's not rolling into it.
Are you serious? They broke up?
I don't know how
well,
to...
Well, anyway, so yeah, there's nowhere to go on Halloween. That's for fucking sure.
Mike, is this something you want to talk about?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I refuse to believe your girl hasn't pressed you about this yet. Come on, dude.
Nah,
come
because I think no she costume. Learned from last year. I didn't give a shit. I think I went into like on Melrose, and I... every year it's the same shit. I put on a vest, and I go, I'm Aladdin. Every year.
Oh, yeah. You
makes
are,
so
you
much
are
sense.
Good Aladdin.
Yeah, I mean, just easy.
Come on, go carve a pumpkin. Have some fun, huh?
Yeah, I mean, no.
All right, what else happened this week? I went to Kansas City is where I watched the UFC fight.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. Khabib is the best fighter on the planet ever.
So you think this 100%?
I've been saying it. He is the best fighter to ever grace the planet. Pound for pound, of course.
But, fighter or to include boxing as well?
I'd say fighter. Boxing is still very much
combat
a sport.
Sport.
I've always said that. You know, boxing is a sport of boxing. I'm talking about fighter, dude.
So
fighter.
Okay.
The gladiator
got
shit.
Got it.
He's the best. The way... And Justin Gaethje, the guy he beat in the second round via triangle choke.
That's with the legs, yeah.
Yep. He put him between his legs and choked him with his own arm.
Right.
Is also one of the best fighters on the planet. And for Khabib to manhandle him like a rag doll, like to manhandle one of the best combat sports athletes on the planet like a rag doll, is so indicative of the level that this guy is operating at. It is ridiculous. He ended his career that night, 29-0, and announced his retirement because his father passed away between his last fight and this fight. And yep. His father was obviously a huge mentor and was with him side by
his
side.
Mom, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, that this would be his last fight. He no longer wants to fight without his dad by his side, which...
That crushed me.
Bro, the pictures on Instagram, it's Khabib with the belt, and his dad is like the angel in heaven next to him. And it's one of those ones where when a fighter announces that he's retiring... Khabib is serious. You know, a lot of people will say that and they'll come back for their money fight.
Like McGregor.
Yeah.
McGregor's retired, 12 times now?
Yeah, so it's it's the boy who cried wolf. Khabib seems, he's one of those no bullshit guys.
He's such a humble person behind the doors, you could tell by the way. He's like going into fights, going out of fights.
Yeah.
So you guys know a lot more about these fighters than I did.
He does.
So when you just told me that the other guy... Was that I thought he was fighting like a no-name fighter.
No, you have no idea, bro.
He's a good...
He's like the toughest dude in the UFC.
So he had a great first round too, coming out against Khabib, right? He was standing up, striking, right?
Some good punches,
right.
But Khabib is, as soon as Khabib gets you on the ground, if you're not against the fence and there's time, you're done. You are donezo.
Right.
And that's what happened early in the second round. I'm stunned at how good of a fighter this guy is. I literally just can't believe it, and it sucks because I want to see more and more and more of him. But also, you got to commend him for being able to recognize, regardless of what the reason was, recognize that he is at the peak and he's going to call it there. If he never fights again, there's a good chance he could be the best fighter the UFC has ever seen for the next 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Like undefeated, indubitably the best fighter.
I love that
because
word.
Of his dominance.
Yeah,
no one even comes close, dude. He's an animal.
I watch unequivocally
the best. Yeah. I watch compilations of him. He'll be like fighting dudes, bro, elbowing him in the face, and he'll be like, "You have to give up. I need to fight for the title. You think so? Yeah." Bam, bam, and I'm just like, "Oh my god!" And in between rounds, bro, he'll go to his corner and he'll talk to Dana White. Be like, "Yo, Dana, I'm going to smash your boy." This was before the Conor McGregor fight. Talking about McGregor. He's like, "I'm going to smash your boy. Watch, I know who I am." Like, he's just so connected to whatever you want to call it. The divine, his family, his morals.
He fights
his
from
passion.
A moral standpoint.
He's really religious.
Yeah.
He's Muslim. He's Muslim.
Yeah.
And so
Envious of people that have that kind of dedication to anything. Whether it be the sport, whether it be the religion, or by the way, extremely envious of the people that have that level of dedication to multiple things.
Yeah.
To multiple things. Like, he's so dedicated to all of these different pursuits. It's like...
Anything he puts his mind to, it's there.
Yeah, like, I like just lounging. It's so fun.
Well, no, that's also good. Come on.
But I never give myself any credit for anything either. Like, I work, but I love lounging as well. You know that.
I wanted to talk about this. It actually leads into a conversation I wanted to have.
Oh, great.
Extremes versus balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm an extremist. Everyone knows this.
Yep.
I go spend fucking $2 million on Pokemon cards, go become a boxer suddenly, go vegan for 4 months. Like, I'm zero or I'm 100.
Yep.
Non-smoking at all, pothead, like 0-100. And then there's a lot of people who live life balanced. I've never been able to do that. Can someone speak on what it's like to live a balanced life?
I think at the end of the day, it's a risk versus reward thing. Mm. And that extreme pursuit and dedication to one thing can either be a maker or a breaker for people. For people like you who are able to dedicate themselves completely to one thing and just soar with it, that's one group of people. And then there's another group of people who get so deep into playing video games or into drug use or into positive pursuits, into their work life, that it burns them out and makes them unable to accomplish the other parts of life.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, it's irresponsible to imagine that no matter how good you are at any one thing, that is a satisfactory accomplishment for life as a whole.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I am the best Pokemon collector in the world. I have more cards than anybody else. I put 24 hours a day into it. That's great. But you haven't seen your mom in 6 months.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend hates you. You have spent all of your money flying around the country to buy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why did you just describe my life?
Sorry, I was using you as an example, but also that's none of that's true. Your Pam loves you. Your girlfriend loves you. Everything's fine. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of people out there who aren't able to balance one extreme pursuit with all of the other intricacies of life.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that for someone who has that extreme level of dedication to one thing, it also requires that person to be a skilled multitasker as well and be able to handle all the other things that come along. You are able to burn from the second you wake up in the morning till the second you go to sleep at night, and you set aside a couple hours to handle all of the other intricacies, make the girlfriend happy, FaceTime the dad, check on the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Like, and so you have to be able to do that if you also want to pursue one thing as a whole, is my thoughts on it. But balance, for most people, for the majority of this world, balance is the way to go. You know, if you find yourself leaning too far into anything, whether it be good or bad, like, you're probably going to get yourself in trouble.
I've never been able to do it, dude. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just, it's so hard for me. If you find yourself living a balanced life and you're just complacent is the word I'll use with where you are, it's because you've been able to do like a nice balance of the scale. Good for you. Good for you. Because it's really hard for some people. And I've been able to, for the most part, direct my energy in being an extremist towards good. Sometimes not, though. Yep, I mean, we've seen me also, like, completely burn out, collapse, and fail because of it.
What are you missing? What are you missing now from your inadequacies on the balance side? What's missing right now?
See, coming from the POV of an extremist, I'd say nothing. Like, I don't chill often. You know, like, if I do chill, I'm now playing absurd amount of Game Boy Color, of Pokemon Green.
And that's fine.
Is it though? Yeah, because I've logged 20 hours in the past week, dude.
People will tell you it's not if you're a person like me who may succumb to something like that and suffer a little bit more from it. I have anxiety. If I spend a little bit too much screen time, I'll notice my anxiety go up a little bit. Mm. If you're not that kind of person, at the end of the day, different strokes for different folks once again. Yeah. It all comes down to who you are as a person. Like, you can do that and it doesn't seem to affect you, but there may be some things that aren't on your plate that you are missing.
I know you just stopped smoking weed, Georgie.
I met an older man.
Oh, congrats. Thanks. How have you guys been talking long? Or?
About a week now. I'm actually quite excited about it. Have you guys ever met somebody that you just kind of like, you're around them and you're like, man, I'm like super, not excited, but just inspired. You just see what he's done in his life and you're just like, all right, I want to listen to what this guy says.
Yep.
And he came from a biblical standpoint, so that's how he like kind of grasped my attention a lot. But the one thing he brought up to me is like, why are you smoking weed? What are you running away from? And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, well, I'm not running away from anything. He goes, yeah, you are. What?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You don't smoke weed every single night unless you're running away from something. And then I sat there and I go, I'm running away from my own thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say yourself.
Absolutely.
And so this whole fucking week and a half, I've just been learning so much about myself and what I need to change. And so he kind of like broke me down, and I started venting, and I realized it's like, I need rest. I'm like going 7 days a week so hard. And he goes, why don't you take a day off? And I looked at him. I started laughing. I go, it's so fucking easy for you to say that. You're a billionaire. I kind of wanted to say, respectfully, suck my dick, bro. You have so much money. You don't ever have to work. And I was like, I want to get to that level. And so, like, I kind of don't respect you when you say that to me. And he laughed at me. He goes, you don't think I took a day off? He's like, it's for your mental state, bro. And he described it as like NASCAR. You know how they're driving around? They need that pit stop break. Yeah. He goes, how long do you think they could go for without that? And he goes, what you're doing is you're short wiring the circuit. He goes, you're not giving yourself one day to just fucking rest. And he's like, and then at night you're just smoking and then starting your next day shitty because you're groggy.
Smoking is work. No matter what anyone says, it's work. Because
drinking too.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a consequence for most people. Again, some people have the blessing of being okay 100% of the time. But it's work to me, dude. Like I was working to push myself to relax. And then the next day I wake up and, like you said, groggy. Slow, tired,
but I didn't know, because like you and both of you guys know, I think we're all three in this type of manner, but like I'm not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I've never been that guy. So if I'm going in for it, I do it all the way.
Yeah.
I'm smoking every single day, and this is the worst thing that I've done to myself. And you've guys seen me do this, and you've called me out on my bullshit. I lie to myself so I can make it okay, because all I do in my life is if it's good in my heart, then I could do it. So when I lie to myself, saying this bullshit like, oh, God made this for me and convinced my parents.
Is that actually what you tell yourself?
Yeah. I was like, yo, God made this plant. It's for me.
I mean, it's not necessarily wrong. It's a natural substance.
Yeah, but bro, thank God. Like, I'm not sick. The fuck's wrong with me say that? Like, that's kind of ignorant. For
so
me
you
to just.
You justify.
I justify everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's a terrible thing to have. And so when I like sat down and I'm looking at myself from like a third party type of thing, I'm like, this kid's a fucking idiot. Like, for him to say like, no, you don't. Go to bed. Stop eating sugar at night. Maybe you could sleep.
It's good that you have that awareness.
I was
going to
say, that's impressive.
For
dude.
Sure.
Really impressive.
But the billionaire guy is 100% right. Everybody, burnout is a real thing. We've been talking about this since episode one of the show. And I want to mention this really quick. You know, I think today is a good point for it. Today is me and Logan's 4-year anniversary from the first day we met. Travis Pastrana's house, Davidsonville, Maryland.
Big day. Yeah.
Crazy day. Logan, myself, Roman Atwood at Travis Pastrana's house on this brand activation for Lovesack. And so weird how that encounter, you know, with someone, that chance encounter can just change your life. You know what I'm saying? It's so like, and you bring up this guy that you met that, you know, had things to say to you. And you told me about this guy the other day. It's just so wild how it could alter the rest of your days on this planet. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I saw the pictures of it today. I'll send you a picture over if you're looking for something.
You guys know this more than I do. When you meet somebody at a caliber that he's at, you never, the one rule is you never ask them for their number. Somebody that you're in the presence of and you're just kind of like, you just met them and they're just kind of killing it. And for you to like, yo, let me get your number. It's kind of like, it's unprofessional one. It's like you maybe ask for an email or like something. And I told him, I was like, I just feel like I could learn a lot from you. And I feel like in this moment in my life, I need somebody to kind of guide me in a serious manner.
Yeah.
They won't bullshit me. And so we've been texting and I think I'm going to drive. He lives in San Diego, bro. I have to drive all the way up there, but I feel like it's good to finally meet somebody that's like, he doesn't give a fuck about my feelings. He doesn't care. He's going to tell me what it is. And
what you're describing is a mentor.
I think I found my first, or like not my first, but like a mentor in this type of.
Good for you. Those are huge.
Huge.
Huge. I've had a couple throughout my life. Thank God. But it's so, it's such a good technique to find someone who's been there, done that, and can speak from real, real experience. He was one of them. He still is. Jerome Jarre, y'all remember Jerome Jarre?
Oh my God, yes.
He was a mentor for a little bit. Oh look, is this the picture, Mike?
Yeah.
me, Mike, Roman Atwood, T. Pastrana,
just Love Sex,
hanging out in Love Sex.
Look at that 2016 Logan Paul right there, no beard.
Bro, if me and Josie do Zelda and Link for Halloween, I'm gonna have to do no beard.
No.
I can't. I can't. Yeah, I'll go do a little. I'll leave a little scruff.
Yeah, But yeah, the Johnny Bravo look going for you.
Yeah,
and that was kind of nearing the end of Atwood's you know, daily person. I mean, he probably went on for a little while after that. But, she, you know, Britt messaged me today, and that's how I found out about that.
What'd she say?
She messaged me, and she said, happy four-year friendiversary.
Wow.
And said, today's the day you met Logan Paul. And I said, Britt, good to hear you. And I messaged Roman. I said, yeah, I met you 4 years ago. I love those guys. So many people said, why didn't you ever air that episode you shot with Roman Atwood? I said, we never filmed one. We want to, though.
That we do.
But, yeah, crazy 4 years. Lot, so much learned, so much growth. And it's so funny lately because all these Logan Paul breakdown videos have been coming out over the past week. All these people that want to take a shot at deciphering the man that is Logan Paul. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Hayden sent us something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and there's been a couple of them that I've seen. It's just so funny to see these people who think they can create this this like interpretation that is they treat it like it's scientific. You know what I'm saying? Based on the content. Now listen, every one of
them.
Yo,
if you could figure me out, please. Like,
please
send me the blueprints because I don't
send me the bill. Send me the bill. We'd love it. But all of them, the storyline remains the same across the board. The podcast changed everything. And even with the one that Hayden sent us, what's the kid's name? Or do you not even want to say?
I
don't remember.
Is it
Denzel?
I have no fucking idea.
I
swear, I'm not even just saying clout. I have no idea.
Regardless.
But he gets, I will say this, he gets good viewership. He looks like he has a very dedicated fan base. And from what I've seen, like the trailer for this video, he did like a, I don't even know what it was. It was like an expose.
Yeah. It was a shame. I think it was a shame. It was the carrying on of the Shane Dawson torch of a deeper look inside someone's person. And I watched, you know, I watched 15 minutes of, I skimmed through, and it actually, he wasn't mean.
Was it good?
But it's just, it's annoying to watch a smaller creator act like, I had to suffer through 50 hours of Logan Paul content. Bitch, you made the video. We didn't fucking ask you to make it. You made it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, thanks for suffering through the content. And I'm not even being mean because he was nice to me on the video and he was like the more
no,
like,
but,
well,
no,
like,
but no, but he's right. He's right. He did, bro. I can't go through 30 seconds of a 2017
for sure.
LP
That's
vlog.
True.
Like
that is
he
true.
He definitely suffered,
yeah.
But it's also like, damn, yo, I walked into this spike pit and now I'm bleeding. What did you think was gonna happen? It puts pointy in there.
But he also, you know, he hit the nail on the head. And I listen, no one's trying to argue that 2016, 2017, 2018, any of us were where we, you know, either should have been or where we were going to be now. And he defined that in the video. I thought it was a really good, really well produced video. But
I don't think the internet and maybe the public attributes growth enough to just age and experience.
That's so much, dude.
It's a shame. It's a shame these young creators have to be perfect as a 19, 20, 21-year-old on social media. Like, do you know how hard that is? And some are doing a very good job. Like Addison, I noticed she's doing a fantastic job, like just getting involved, using your voice for good, spreading positivity. And there's a lot of young TikTok stars who are doing it. But like, when I was on the come up, maybe like the second wave of internet stars, it was interesting how as soon as you gained the following or had a little bit of clout, it's like you automatically became a role model, even though that's not what you signed up for.
Yeah.
And as a 21, 22-year-old, it's like, oh, you're a role model now. Kids look up to you. Like fuck off. Like I don't understand like what that means. I don't care. And now as an adult, you grow up and now we have a long form podcast and we get to speak on interesting topics at length. And I started to come into my own as an adult and realize what this weight of millions of people watching my content, what this weight of having an audience, especially depending on the platform you watch me on, a young audience means, and how you can use that influence for good.
Yeah.
That BLM speech I had was the first time I was like,
crazy.
I was like, wait, out of everything I've ever done, this is the only time I've ever felt significant and an actual blip on the radar of good on this social media platform.
He brought that up in the episode. He played the clip of me talking about, do you remember that when I went crazy that day on the George Floyd stuff?
Yeah,
when I first started flipping out about it?
Yeah.
He played that clip and he played your clip on America's Racist. And honestly, like, I'm like you in that respect too. The days when I feel most accomplished or most satisfied by this job or career or whatever you want to call it, or you know, this dream that we get to live in, are the days when I feel myself making an actual impact. Mm. The days when someone sends me a video and says, yo, like you talked about keeping going through tough times, that made me not want to hurt myself today or not want to use heroin or not want to do this or not want to do that. And you too, taking an actual stand on something. If there's a lot of people out there that are really, really scared in this environment to take a stand on certain topics, and we haven't been on this show, and that's admirable to a lot of people. There's a transparency and an authenticity about this show. We're not scared to say how we feel about stuff.
Well, because again, as you start to come into your own, I'm 25 now. My beliefs are solidifying.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm starting to understand who I am. At 21, I had no fucking idea. I thought I did. I had no idea. 22, I had no idea. 23, I'm like, okay. I was texting Team Maverick LP, the fan page. She's the best.
Oh, she's awesome.
And she sent me some tweets from 2018. And I was like, yo, I'm evolving. I can feel it. Like, this will be the year that I solidify who I am. And I was right. Like, I just have always been a bit of a late bloomer. And I started to really be comfortable and start to love who I was becoming at 23, 24, 25, you know, and a lot, like I said, a lot of people just don't like, oh my God, what happened? I grew up.
Well,
I became an adult.
You nailed hammering the nail on the head with the thoughts about growth and experience and age. Yeah. And so like one follows the other, right? As you get older in this cold world we live in, generally you experience things and generally you grow as a result of those traumas. And I think, you know, at that age, you haven't really been through, for most people, you really haven't been through that much. I also think though that there's creators that are good at bad at being perfect. And then there's some creators who are just assholes. They come on the scene, they break stuff just to break it. They're not learning. They're not. And those are the people that are just like,
for sure.
They're not, they don't want to be helped.
I think it'll be, we talk about it all the time, lifespan. Like, what you can see the significance of a creator based on their lifespan. How long have they been around? How long will they have been around?
With real influence, just around. Because there's a lot of influencers that stay around, but how much do they continue to influence?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this one plays out.
Speaking of major influence, the 100 Thieves team bought the LA spot in the Call of Duty League today. They are now the Los Angeles Thieves. They bought it from Optic Gaming. It's a big deal. I don't know what the sale price is. I got to look at it. But
what does that mean for someone who's
So Call of Duty League is a competitive league built around the playing of Call of Duty. And in the past, you know, couple of years, they started to put cities on the map that could then be teams could then license those cities, almost like the NBA. Almost like, or like soccer, it's really happening. Wow. Like FaZe is the Atlanta FaZe. That's the name of their team. Like they have a fucking team, bro, with a city on their back.
It's weird. It's like, why wouldn't you want 100 Thieves, your brand, as 100 Thieves? Like the Dallas Mavericks are the Dallas Mavericks. They don't just call it the Dallas basketball team.
Right. So no, I get it. But it's cool. But also more than anything, it's just indicative of this industry is. This is the real deal. Like honestly, guys.
I think it's crazy that growing up, you would watch basketball, right?
Yep.
And then when you go to the park, they're not monetizing on you playing basketball. And now people want to be on the game, so you're going to go buy that game. You're going to invest in that game.
Question.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is the esports industry slightly limited by their audience. Is it safe to say that the majority of people who are watching esports and go to the tournaments, the majority are men, male?
For the,
this is what I'm asking. Because like, when you show up to a football game, what is it? Like maybe 60-40, 50-50?
You'd be surprised. Maybe in the stands there's more in football, but actually the female buy more merchandise for football.
Let's not do that.
If we're gonna bring him on, let's give him a mic. Okay. If there's one down there.
Well, he's just sitting there.
Let's go back to the regular levels on the mic. He's been itching to get in.
I know. Let's try to get him a mic.
But there's
a mic over here if you want to get in.
But the industry... Yes, I think. So the first thing that I've noticed, because as you know, I'm moving in. Like a PC just about done, Twitch channel running. I've been supporting Evan's stream over the past week, and within the next week I'll launch my channel. And I'm excited for it, and I plan to play with all the big dogs. I plan to play with subscribers on the weekend, so that's happening. Where you're right, I think the audience is smaller, but I think they're rabid. I think they're fucking rabid as fuck.
Not smaller. I'm saying like
limited by demographic. Like
limited by demo. Let's call it. You know what I'm saying? Can we get to a point where like women are ecstatic to watch Ninja play Fortnite? Will we get to
maybe they're super excited to watch Pokimane or super excited to watch Valkyrie?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying there aren't females who don't exist who like video games and like. I think that is fucking awesome. Every dude loves a girl who's like, yeah, you want to play Call of Duty? That's the best thing on the planet. I'm talking strictly statistics. What do you think is it 80-20? Is it 90-10? And do you ever think it'll shift to 50-50, 60-40?
Question, does the football and basketball, because when I'm...
Yeah.
Well, hold on. When you think about like a Thanksgiving meetup, girls are usually like just hanging out with themselves, and the guys are watching the sport.
No, maybe where you're from, dude. But you go to Middle America, you go to...
Really?
Yeah, bro, I was in...
Growing up, hold on. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. It was very rare for a girl to be like, yo, I can't wait to watch the game. Very rare for where I'm from.
Mm.
There's like... A lot of my
women in my family, they cared. They love sports. Hell yeah. Also, dude, my mom goes to the Brown games. They go to the baseball games, basketball games. They love it. I just think video games skew more male.
I got
now.
Some data here.
All right, show me.
First of all, gaming industry to reach $180 billion in revenue by 2021, which is fucking, that's insane. 2.5 billion video gamers around the world. Average video gamer, 34 years old.
There we go, hello. Mike.
Ready for this? 45% of U.S. gamers are women.
I'm not talking about the gamers.
Okay, sorry. So I found the gaming stats. I will look for the viewer stats, but something tells me that the willingness of the 45% of women to play games then also calculate at least directionally towards their desire to watch people play as well.
Also,
that could be a poor assessment or assumption. But my assumption is that there's at least some alignment there. Yeah.
Interesting. I'd love to see how this one plays out.
How is this possible? 70% of parents believe video games have a positive influence on their children's
lives. They do, bro.
But times have changed.
Yeah, true.
Bro, me and Jeff come up during the days of early Mortal Kombat and then GTA thereafter, GTA 1, 2. My mom would be like,
well, that's GTA, bro.
Is that why?
You're killing random people.
Yeah, GTA is tricky.
GTA is terrible.
Huh?
You and George?
What?
Duck Hunt?
Oh, great.
Did we
game.
Duck Hunt the Duck, game?
I've never played the
you talk game. About when you go to the arcade and actually.
You have it at the house on Nintendo.
Did you ever play Buffalo thing where you shoot a buffalo as it's like going across the screen?
That's like Deer Hunter. That's years later. Duck Hunt is the epicenter of the beginning of all of it.
That mic is not on.
It doesn't work.
Well, whatever. We still
hear it. Well, I don't want to be...
All right.
So I'm gone.
Sorry, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff.
It was fun while we had you, buddy.
It was good. Is that in the way of that camera at all?
Yeah, I
would
take it out.
Okay.
Wow, sorry. After all that assumptions, I'll just go fuck myself because Twitch's user base is 81% male.
I said 80-20. Yeah.
And 55% 18 to 34. But we talk about, you're absolutely right, limited, yes, But when you think about brand dollars and how excited brands are about spending money on niche and very specific demo sets, when brands found out that my audience was 93.7, they've been all the male fucking brands have been hungry as hell.
It's strong. Yo, it's that's so why easy. Yo, that's why when I see some of these massive female influencers, like the pretty ones, the ones with the butts, the ones with the boobs.
Yeah.
Promoting
dresses, swimwear,
I'm like, this. What are you doing? This makes no sense. Bro. You need to be promoting Manscaped.
1,000%.
Manscaped.
Or DSC or whatever.
Blue Chew.
Blue. Yes.
Honestly, anything that's geared toward male.
A female creator. I'm sure there is, but promoting that company, and that would make a ton of sense. But
I had this convo with Josie. I was like, yo, we got to come up with something. Because her audience was primarily female, but I skewed it a little bit more male.
More
now.
Male.
Yeah.
There was a, I'm not going to mention her name out of respect for her, but she sat down and she's like, I'm spending all this hours and time on a bikini wear. And I was like, this isn't going to go anywhere. I was like, your audience is not going to buy it.
I feel bad. I really feel bad for the famous Insta girls who are promoting female based product. I don't know who told you that was a good idea. It's ridiculous. Like as much as you think you can defy the odds, and I know you'll back me up on this one, data.
Yeah,
data. It's funny, is the only thing to look at when you're figuring out what to sell, when to sell, why to sell, how to sell.
I was about to bring up outliers, and why would I do that? Because they're outliers. It's so stupid. But you know how often I go through this exercise, how many brands I talk to, and they're like, yo, can you get this girl to promote my new swim line? I'm like, can I ask you a question? Why the fuck do you want to do that? She has a 98.2 male skewing audience.
Do you think
any of them are buying bathing suits? Now, there have been some smart brands who have created campaigns marketed towards men that want to buy their girlfriend lingerie or swimsuits. Yo.
Problem. They're single men looking at hot girls. Why would they be buying?
Many of them. You know, there's the majority of men in committed relationships
are still following girls like that?
No, you got them muted, though.
Yeah, they're muted.
What the big old, I'm not trying to piss everyone off, but I also don't need to see your shit, or do I want to? Mute. I went on a mute spree. Yeah, everyone's muted.
Did you mute me?
Sand story. No, yes, I didn't mute you.
Yes, he did. Damn it.
Mute. Everyone, the mute button is underused.
Super underused.
Honestly, keeps your scrolling time down, too. I don't care what you're saying. Unfollowing.
People get offended.
That's why I don't want to piss anyone off.
They get offended,
bro. But I'll mute the fuck out of you.
You wouldn't believe how many people got offended. Remember when I did that thing for a week where I was like, I'm only following Jesus. It was like a little fun thing. Yeah. Bro, you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I tried to punch you.
Bro, I got texts. Yo, are we good? What? Motherfucker, it's Instagram. It's IG. I didn't even know you posted it on IG.
I mean, bro, you unfollow me on Instagram. You come here with that curl. And hanging down off your...
Just like, one, it's an upside down question mark. Look at the camera, my friend. Upside down question mark.
I'm going to ask you a question about your question mark hair, bro.
And I'm not going to have the answer. You can tell that on my face.
You want to know what I did? I put a rule in place. I haven't followed it lately. If I have not seen you, talked to you, heard from you, texted you in real life in the past 6 months, it's open season for me to delete it off Instagram. Dead up. And when they ask me, when they come up to me at a party, I said, yo, because some of the people, you know, that you follow are hometown kids. They got 1,800 people following them. And they'll notice when you're asked fucking unfollowed.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they come up to me and I go, I haven't seen you since 2015. You are married. You have 4-8 kids now. I don't know anything about your... Why the fuck do I want to see...
I don't know anything about you, but
why?
That you're married and 4 kids and you change your last name. Yeah,
well, how are you going to know if you unfollow me?
But I'm saying, like, why do I care that you made that specific batch of pumpkin cupcakes for your kids' PTA meeting?
It's unfortunate. Why the fuck do I care? You don't care. You don't care. Why would you? You have your own pumpkin cupcakes.
Yes.
Pumpkin cupcakes.
My rule of thumb. My rule of thumb is if
filled with white creamy fucking...
You guys are filling. Gross, but I love it. This is why I love you guys.
Pumpkin pumpkins.
My rule of thumb is if your content doesn't give me any value.
Value.
Like
that's
a boner,
what I do.
You're out. Not even mute. You're out. Like, if I don't get an erection,
yeah,
or if I don't get... No,
there's a way to get an erection no matter what you see. You know that, right?
Yeah. Now to our sponsor, Blue Chew, with...
Normally,
shoot in the dark.
Normally when I give him brand layups, because I do all the time, I know that was a Hail Mary.
Like we're Hail all Mary just, sometimes 50% of the time.
So we all just look to the side. Do you have
Is it
one
today?
No, it's not.
Nope.
No.
At this point, today? If you get any brand deal contract with this, you're most likely going to get an accident one, like just out in the air. But yeah, no, a lot of people don't realize that what you're looking at is going to affect you. Even if it's like a quick second, like don't let shit affect you. If it's dumb, get rid of it. A lot of people are too scared of hurting people's feelings. And I was like that too. A lot of people are like so scared of hurting that individual's feelings that they don't give a fuck about their own feelings. And I'm like, dude, why?
We talked about
just
this.
Just mute. I'm telling you, it's just, you don't hurt anyone's feet. I'm telling you, it's the most utilitarian feature on Instagram. Just
but we,
mute.
But George's point right there was something that you and I talked about this morning as well in a different context that we don't need to get into. But this idea that, this idea that you will sacrifice your own mental health, your own well-being to not upset or hurt someone else.
I told you, my friend, there's a limit on it. Yeah. There's a limit on it, and you got to know when to call it.
Yeah, because I do it so I
hyper-empathetic.
So
you're a hyper-empath.
Yeah.
Although it might not seem like it, if he hurts someone's feelings, it destroys him. It eats him alive. Like, everyone has that thing that tears them fucking cell by cell apart. And it's for him, it's when he hurts someone's feelings.
I mean, I know we said we would touch on it one time and never touch it again. I sat with Mac for a fucking hour after that whole thing went down. And I felt terrible about it, even after having the conversation with him about, you know, getting carried away or whatever. I felt terrible. Like, that kind of shit just fucking eats me. I'll sit in my room for the whole day. People be like, oh, what's going on? And I'm just like, nah, nothing, I'm good. But
I told you to shut up. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The comments kept saying that he was being mean to me, and he texted me like 8 times. Talked about, I'm like, Mike, you never did it. Shut up. Like, stop.
I don't know what it is about why I.
But you
like
have
that.
To. You give a lot of your energy away, which is awesome. It's an awesome character trait.
Yeah.
Except I'm telling you, you have to know when to call it for your sake, sometimes for the other person's sake. Sometimes for both,
it's a blessing and a curse. It's one of those.
Big time. You got to know when to have balance with that for sure.
Yeah,
it's a great message. I'm saying this is a great message for some people in the audience right now. No. Like there's someone in the a lot of people in the audience right now who are doing something in their lives sheerly because they don't want to upset someone else.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Sheerly because they want to not upset someone, not make someone sad, not want to see someone cry. And honestly, it's just really tough because when you start to noticeably feel the effect that is then having on you as a person, and it really is, energy is palpable. You start to feel a drain on your life force, you know, when you give that energy away to someone else to try to save them or cheer them up or not upset that person. And so to your point, I mean, at some point you just have to you have to take control and be selfish. Don't be afraid to be selfish at times. Don't be afraid to do what is right for you, because you cannot do what is right for others until you take care of yourself first.
Bro, a lot of really successful people will tell you that.
Yeah.
Joe Coy said it when he came on.
Absolutely.
He was like, oh, I'm in a selfish phase of my life at this point. Like, I just, I like doing what I like to do. I like worrying about myself and achieving my shit.
Would you guys say this year was probably the most hardworking year I've ever had?
Like, yeah, for sure.
All because of one thing. I cut certain people out of my life. I swear on everything.
Is that why you haven't been coming by so much?
I don't like you. it was the hardest thing to do because, like, empathy is something that I deal with. Like, I always think of the weirdest things. I'm like, okay, I don't want my children to go through that, so I'm not going to do this to people. Like, so I always think of the most random shit.
Yeah.
But one day my dad looked at me and goes, bro, they don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. So why are you giving so much? And one time I was trying to like convince my dad that this person was a good person. And my dad just sat there and listened to me. And after I was done, he goes, bro, who are you trying to convince? Me or you? And I sat there and I go, bro, you're so fucking right.
Such a great
question.
Oh, man. I love when people say that.
Yeah.
Your dad's so wise, dude.
So I did it, and like 1 month went by and it was hard as shit. The second month was easier. The third was like great. And then I was like 8 months into it and I'm just crushing shit. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? And I realized, and this is a really important message, you're either hanging out with somebody that's bringing you to a higher level, or you're hanging with an anchor that's bringing you down.
You think you're hand-holding. You're really holding their wrist as you're walking up the mountain. It's baggage, my friend. It's baggage. Yeah. And the moment you shed it, you're gonna be sprinting at a pace you've never experienced.
Of course. Of course, dude. Like, let's put it, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Me and you. A lot of people will say, like, well, you know, he's hanging out with Logan because there's a lot of influence, blah, blah, blah. They don't see that when you're writing something, I'm right there with you. I'm carrying a load that you want me to bring. When it comes to a writing session, when it comes to a podcast, when it, Mike's comedy, Mike's bringing value. People bring value. At the end of the day, when you go to the table, when it comes to something, you have to bring something to the table.
Yeah. Every close relationship that I have is so symbiotic.
Oh, yeah.
It's mutually beneficial for both parties. Man, I'd love to be the guy that's just providing. But yeah. it's just not true. Like, I give and I receive. And that's just how it works. If any relationship starts to become, like, abnormally one-sided and I'm like, oh, this is just a give relationship, I only have so much energy. Energy is finite. It's your currency. Don't waste it on bullshit.
After my dad said, who are you trying to convince? He said this to me, and it hit so fucking hard. He goes, what did you come here for? I go, I can't. And he goes, I'm going to stop you right there. Everybody's the same way. And I go, what the fuck? I didn't even say anything. He goes, you came here for a purpose. So do they. So they're not going to let you get in the way of their dreams. Why the fuck are you letting them get in the way of your dreams?
Yeah.
He goes, go, bro. Go get it. Help others. But help. When I came here, I had no money. My dad would deposit $200 in my account every week on Friday. It was Thursday. I had $19 in my bank account. And I could have easily called my dad and just be like, Dad, I need more money. But I didn't because I'm a fucking prideful piece of shit. And he always yelled at me for it too, so I didn't want to get yelled at. I'm walking to Subway, and I'm checking out my sandwich. And the guy in front of me got like two sandwiches, a drink, and fries. And he tried to ring it up, and his card got declined. You could obviously tell that this guy was not as fortunate as where I was at in my life. And I looked at him, and he was really stressed because you could tell he just wanted food. And so I said, you know what? I'll take care of it. And I paid his meal knowing that I didn't have the rest for my meal.
Oh, no.
Now, I could easily call my dad. Obviously, everybody's going to say that in the comment section. But I didn't because I want to be my own man. And so that night, I went to bed really hungry. And I started crying, not because of me, because it was the first time in my life when I went to bed starving. And I was like, man, I don't want anybody to deal with this. I was hurting from being hungry, and I've never had that. And so I started crying because I was like, dude, there's people out there that have that.
Yeah, every night.
Every night.
Yeah.
So I called my dad the next morning because I needed, because he was going to take his time with it. I was like, yo, I need the cash, blah, blah, blah. And my dad said, I hope you learned your lesson. And I go, yeah, next time I call you. He goes, no. He goes, your lesson is you can never help anybody else until you're established. He's like, you got to have a solid ground. What kind of common sense is that? For you to help somebody else and hurt yourself in the process, he goes, just imagine if you get to a level where you could help 10 of those people.
Yeah.
He goes, but you can never hurt yourself in the process of hurting somebody else, helping somebody else.
It's a great point.
When the airplane's going down, put your mask on first.
That's why.
Before you assist that's others. Right. That's what they say.
We say that in meetings often. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And also, there's just we talk about energy and giving away energy and taking care of yourself. A good friend of mine, a business partner, her husband recently got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Out of nowhere. And we've had people on the show who have talked about this before, and you see it from time to time, you know, this person that's having this healthy life, and all of a sudden they go to the doctor one day and it's not, you have a tumor in your spine or you have a tumor in your brain that we're going to look at operating on. You have cancer in your entire body.
Bro.
It wasn't detected soon enough. You have 2 months to live.
Bro, Stefan Arnio.
Exactly.
We had him on this podcast.
Exactly.
He passed from cancer.
Exactly. Just like that. We didn't find it soon enough. We're really sorry. Now imagine walking out of that hospital knowing that you just dedicated 3 years, 5 years to a pursuit that was not making you happy, that was not fulfilling you because you wanted to help another person or because you didn't want to let someone down or you were pursuing this job that the end goal was money, but it was leaving you unfulfilled or unsatisfied in your life, and you felt like you weren't fulfilling your purpose, and you walk out of the hospital with a diagnosis that you have a month left. And like those kind of stories, when people call me and they tell me that, like, the father of my children has 2 months left, and I'm spending my days right now with my girls trying to console them.
it really grounds you back in what the fuck are you doing with your time here. It is so finite and so limited and so fleeting. And we talk about this a lot. Every day that goes by, you're just moving closer towards what is inevitable. And honestly, like 2020 was a year for me of hard work, of sometimes putting other people first. But honestly, like 2021, like my goal is to make myself happy. I just want to be happy, and I want me to be happy, the people around me to be happy, and that's it. That's got to be the goal. And it's just you have to think about what you are doing with the time that you have here, because it's short.
Tomorrow's not promised.
Unless you live to 150, which is I'm planning on. I met the guy. We're going to have him on this podcast. The guy who's going to make me live till 150, he guaranteed me. It was a guarantee. I bought two full sets of first edition Pokemon cards from him. He's coming on this podcast. His name's Teague. And he's going to talk about how he's going to do that. There's ways, man. I'm going to call biohackers.
Yeah,
some of these people.
I brought him to you for a reason. I think he's
probably about two full first edition sets.
I know.
Michael.
He's a smart kid. He's working on that, and he's working on.
Is there any chance? There's
a gray stamp Charizard in there, yep. Michael.
He's working on how to garner lithium from salt. The guy is he's
sharp,
knowledgeable. I played golf with him.
Negotiating yesterday. With him, he was here for 5 hours negotiating with this guy for Pokemon cards. 5 hours, dude.
You smoked him on. I gotta say, you smoked him on the. I mean, me and Chase joked on the golf course all day yesterday.
I got him good. You know why? We got to a point where he had a lot less leverage than I did. I was in a point where I really, truly did not give a fuck.
Best negotiating position you could ever be.
I didn't care.
There's nothing.
I shouldn't even have been buying those cards. It was my last like potential purchase, and he just was at a number that was too high. I'll tell you like where we started off. I think he started off at 300K and I started at 100K.
You said
that's tough.
At one point you said right now we are on Earth.
He goes, you're on Mars.
He said,
yeah, I'm into space. I go, you're into space, right? Yeah. He goes, yeah. I'm like, okay, do you know how long it takes to get to Mars? He's like, yeah, like 8.5 months. I was like, that's right, about 333 days. Do you know why it takes that long? He's like, it's pretty far. I go, it's far, right? So where we're sitting at this table in Encino and Mars, you know how far that is. That's how far we are in this negotiation. There's no chance this gets done, my friend. Like, it's incredible. Guess what? He agreed to do a Tesla giveaway.
Yeah.
As part of the deal. So we're giving away two Teslas.
Big Tesla giveaway.
A Christmas Tesla giveaway. Because of Pokemon cards.
I love how manager Jeff just sits there like, news to me. I had no idea about any of this.
Oh, dude.
But it's also a representative, Logan, of the like you were at 100,000, but he was at 300,000. You got the deal done because of the like shifting scale of what influencer is worth. Like,
I know,
like people,
I know.
People are like, I think a Logan Paul post is worth 150,000, and Logan's like, I'm telling you, it's worth 500,000. Another brand's like, man, we give him 750, and everybody's just like, who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah.
it's as much as influencer has grown over the past like decade to a point where people understand CPMs and what the true value is of influencer. It's still the Wild West.
Yeah.
Influencers are just saying, yo, you know what? It's actually not a $10,000 post. It's a $100,000 post, and the brand's like, oh shit, I really want Addison Rae to do this post, so I'm gonna give her 50 times what we originally bargained on paying.
Bro, Mr. Beast gets Super Bowl numbers. Every video,
crazy.
Damn near, gets paid maybe a fifth of what Super Bowl commercials cost. It's insane. It's insane we're not there yet.
Right.
It's unfortunate. We're gonna get to when we're adults, well, when I'm like a full adult.
Yeah, like next 20 years.
40 years old type thing, yeah. I think influencers will be the next big superstar. Like superstars.
No, they
on
are
the planet.
Now.
No.
Compensated.
I'm talking about A-list. Do you know A-list? Do you know some of the social media stars in China on China's big social media platforms like Weibo? They're bigger than their actors and their singers.
Wait,
and musicians.
Hold on. But what's the one we always say is, what's the metric? Because I feel like we're there right now. Who's bigger than Addison Rae?
No. The metric is the fact that we aren't getting paid what we're worth.
Compensation.
Yeah.
The market hasn't caught up to us.
The market, and I think.
But it's growing quick, bro. It's fast.
And it's also deeply rooted in the intelligence of the creator. So like, well, you're right. There are some creators are out there that should have made $10 million based on their influence last year, and they made 100 because they came out with a fucking product that went absolutely nuts. And so it's still partially dependent. There's no SAG. There's no SAG after. There's no guidelines on how things work. And so like, yo, if you put out the right clothing line, you might make $30 million next year when you only should have made, you know, $500,000.
You see Dobrik's businesses?
Yeah. Which one?
He's got a couple. He's always got a couple. I've been meaning to talk about this for a little bit. I have some thoughts.
Go for it.
Obviously, love David. You said it best. Like, he's potentially one of the best, if not the best creator on the internet.
Yep.
He's fantastic. But, he's got a couple businesses coming out. He just launched David's Perfume. And then someone I saw on TikTok released trademarks that he's filed, I think.
Oh, for an app. He's got an app.
For an app called Dispo. Yeah, Dispo. Short for disposable, because he's into disposable.
They got
disposable
a lot of money for that.
They raised $4 million. I think partially co-founded by Alexis Ohanian, who founded Reddit, and then also filed a trademark for Dobrik's Pizza Place.
Saw that as well. Ghost Dobrik's Kitchen. Ghost Kitchen, right?
We got predictions, because I got some predictions, and my Quibi predictions were spot on.
Never seen
friends.
You talk more like Donald Trump. Never
spot
seen,
on.
Never, did you guys get that on your end? You saw that? I've never seen.
I told y'all. I said Quibi. It's not gonna fucking work. It's gonna fail.
We didn't even.
They called it a $1.75 billion experiment. Are you fucking
crazy,
kidding me?
Crazy. Greg Lindsay was.
They didn't spend all that money.
You think some of that money got. So, really quickly, video, Netflix times YouTube, app Quibi. We've been talking about this for ages. Files to disband last week. It had $1.75 billion of infused investor money. Do you think some of that money went back to the investors?
1,000,000%, not all of it was used. It's raised. You can possibly come and draw from it. Mm.
Jeff
spent $2 billion on what?
Jeff saying a lot of it went back, but.
No, you're right. It doesn't make sense. What were you saying about you, Greg?
So I was in a meeting. I was pitching some TV shows, and they were like, hey, side note, this is 2 years ago. They were like, we have this thing, blah, blah, blah. We're getting in works with them. Do you want to pitch it to them? And I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, it's short form, but it's like shot this way. And I literally go, I'm going to stop you right there. Who the fuck's going to want to watch a movie this way for that long? I go, they're not. I'm like, I can't even get motherfuckers to watch my IG story for that long. Will you want that to happen?
Something tells me the formatting was not the reason for the fail.
Yeah.
No,
people are consuming a lot of vertical video right now.
The guy who invented it is killed it in the industry.
Jeffrey Katzenberg, yeah.
Killed it.
He's a legend.
This one was a miss.
It's crazy. I mean, we met with him, dude. He's one of the wisest guys I've ever had the pleasure of meeting with. I don't know what happened here that he was this out of touch. If one conversation with me, I swear to God, by the end of the hour, I would have had him second guessing his $1.7 billion experiment. One, bro. As dumb as I fucking look, I feel like I got sort of a semi-good finger on the pulse when it comes to social media platforms. Let's talk about David Dobrik's Dispo.
Yeah,
I think I know what it is. I think it's like a...
Wasn't it like his an Instagram?
Right,
kind
right.
Of?
Like a raw type. It provides the imagery of that of a disposable camera to post like unfiltered, raw.
That's what it is.
But it's on your iPhone.
Yeah, they have apps that are like that. That's why I think it's gonna.
I think we're assuming that we don't know.
No, he, so
well, he has
Dispo, single use camera on the App Store.
Yeah,
it's a.
It's a retro camera
waiting periods to an instant gratification generation. So yeah, so basically it's a digital form.
You can't edit it. You know what I think? Good fucking luck. You're going to need it. Like really, you're going to need it.
Nobody wants
wants to post raw photos on a real handheld, tangible, disposable camera. It's cool. You go to the store, you develop it. It's a process. Look behind us, dude. We got Polaroids on the wall. It's cool. It's artsy.
But
a platform based solely on that concept, I'm telling you right now, I bet all the money in the world it doesn't work. Granted, I'm sure some fucking idiot is going to buy it after they acquire 1 to 2 million users for a multiple of
how
much it's worth.
One,
but like,
if 1 to 2 million users means it worked, that's a
Users in what way? Everyday active users, people who download. He'll get 2 million downloads. But what makes a successful app?
No, but that's
daily active users.
That's what makes a billion-dollar app. But technically, based on the West Coast model, if you get 1 million downloads, you're ready for sale. There's a lot.
So someone could buy it. I could see it being a good cash grab for everyone involved. But as a staple social media platform. I love David. I love Alexis Ohaney. He was one of the first people I met when I got involved in social media game. This is not going to work.
Part of my ignorance. I don't know exactly is this an app where it's like an Instagram and people are posting it, or is this just like an app where you could take the picture? Why can't you just upload it and edit it?
It's the first one you said.
It's a whole different ball. Mother, it's like,
fuck. Didn't we already just go through this, Joseph?
No. He's got questions.
If I don't know, then definitely people listening are not going to know.
I thought we just said all this.
I thought this whole time it was an app that you could like you could take a picture and you could download it to your photos.
I don't know.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, just like a disposable app cam, like, so you could just
Making a social media platform.
So it is a platform.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I had someone tell me it would make Dobrik a billionaire.
I'm not saying Dispo is going to. What I'm saying is this, and yes, it is a platform. How we as you can tell, we're not super versed on exactly how said platform works, but the ability to turn an application idea from simply a concept through a couple rounds and into a $1 billion sale is not super far fetched. It's really not. Especially when you have the jet fuel that is one of the biggest creators in the world behind it.
So name the five.
What'd you say?
Bro, he always plays devil's advocate. Not this time, Michael. Okay, no. It's impossible.
But let me finish. Name the ones in the billion club. Would you say that TikTok is built off the backs of successful TikTokers?
No.
Okay, let me stop.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. TikTok is built off of the consumers.
Okay, let me just...
The users. Everyone can make a TikTok.
So I just...
And through that, I've said it 1,000 times, through the massive user base, the layman, the creators arise.
Right. Let me finish this point. And I'm not disagreeing with you guys wholeheartedly. All I'm saying is this. That's on a billion, on the sale price. Okay, I hear you. But what I'm saying is it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. Would you say that? Okay. The difference between an app that fizzles out and doesn't work and an app that sells for $1 billion is what's called a USP or a differentiating factor. All of the apps that have sold for that valuation or for that multiple on the revenue have had something substantial that differentiates them from everything else. IP is what it encompasses, okay. Yes, but it's just a differentiating factor, a differentiator, USP. Exactly. All of them dramatically different from something else that the market already has. The reason that this, you know, may not be a $1 billion sale, to your point, is because at the end of the day, it seems to be a photo creation, curation, and sharing application, which we already have in Instagram. And one of the toughest things to do is raise $1 billion or sell for $1 billion in an arena that you are directly competing against a fucking monster. You have David Dobrik, incredible creator, tons of followers. You are up against the Illuminati. You have taken on the New World Order.
Did you just switch sides? We were agreeing.
No. On different things. I'm not saying it's impossible.
I'm just saying it's tough. But like you said, it depends. Like who wants to use the product? Who wants to post a raw picture that you took on your iPhone?
David Dobrik's fans.
Not fucking me.
David Dobrik's fans.
No, not me. I still want to grab the disposable real life, go get it developed at the store, which he should develop a camera. He might have already done this. That is like a David camera that you don't have to go buy the Kodak. But also, the issue is this. Again, I love the kid. And I even thought about texting him this, but it's not my fucking business.
Well, he's going to hear it now.
It's not my business to tell him what his business is. It is my business to comment on business.
Okay.
Bingo.
Well done.
I don't know who advised him to do David's perfume.
This is the one you wanted to talk
about. I have no idea.
Oh, you don't think it's good?
I'm not. I don't know about the product, but I mean, Georgie, who's who's buying David's perfume?
Well, it's not a. It's a cologne. It's a cologne, but
cologne?
Yeah. So I just learned
so
about.
So that's what I'm saying. So is it for male or female or both?
Both.
Unisex.
Is that's it a unisex scent? It's unisex,
okay. So okay. It's hard. What is the metric for success on this? Is it gross revenue?
Yes.
Do you think he made $1 million selling perfume, and is that a success? Female audience, yeah. I just think when you have a creator, an amplifier, a needle. Steph, please. When you have a creator, an amplifier, a needle mover, like David, everything he touches should turn to gold 10 times over and back again. If pointed in the right direction, this kid could make waves beyond waves beyond waves on the biggest scale that any influencer has ever seen. But I'm sorry, a perfume line just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't make sense. I don't really understand the thought that went behind it, especially because I think I saw him promote it maybe once or twice, and that's it. So is it a one and done, again, quick cash grab? Which Dispo might be as well. You get your users, you sell immediately. And then someone's stuck with an app with 2 million inactive users.
Hold on. I have to tap out on that and the pizza because I refuse to refuse to talk about shit that I'm this absolutely just obliteratingly not like sure of. Like I don't know what he's I don't even know what he's fucking selling on the perfume side. Back to the Dispo thing. I want to read these to correct some of the stuff we've already said. So the art of Dispo is that you take a photo and you have to wait until the next day to see it. The photo actually has to develop in the app, similarly to a disposable camera. So what they're doing here is their USP or differentiating factor that they're depending on to separate them from their competitors is delayed gratification in a time when people will not wait for seconds. People will not wait for seconds for fucking anything right now. If in 2020 and 2021, now what they're betting on is David's ability to shift the culture. Now he's not just putting out a product for consumption, he's trying to shift the mindset of Generation Z to wait for what they want.
If he was posting,
is a tough fucking sell.
If he was posting as regularly as he was and his machine was on, as we call it, my mind might be different. My mind might be made up and sway the opposite direction. But as you and I know, influencer is not timeless. Influencer is not timeless, especially when it comes moving from A to B.
Has COVID infected David's clout levels?
No, absolutely not. Dude, you just posted a video on a second channel, fucking crush, and it was a brand deal.
Same thing as Logan has said.
That was a question, by the way. That was not a statement.
Back, I could go away.
As long as your content's good. So yes and no. I mean, bro, influencer is all about ups and downs.
I think he got into a level where he could walk away for a bit. Have gotten to that level. Here's not moving on, staying on David's pizza thing. I don't know anything about that.
I'd one more on Dispo, and then I'm done for good. It's already been downloaded. They didn't give an exact number. This article is from October 8th, earlier this month. It's already been downloaded millions of times.
I told you, he'll get 2 million downloads.
And so, if he could get them to use the app, this may not be as easy as the Quibi conversation. $1 billion,
I like the idea of taking a stance, and I said my stance.
I'm with you, but you're absolutely right. Listen, the first offer for fucking Snapchat was $1 billion. Snapchat.
It was the biggest app on the planet at the time. Everyone used Snapchat when they got their billion dollar offer.
Never sold. Can you imagine not taking smart, that deal? Smart, how old was smart. What's his name?
He was 20. He was,
no, I know the IPO. Yeah, he was, said, but
he
I'm
was
just
24.
Saying
he told Mark Zuckerberg no to $3-4 billion.
Oh, the second offer. Yeah. What were you gonna say about the pizza, Jeff? George.
I think David has his own style and taste. So people have mentioned this many, many times online. Like, oh, this is David's version. This is David. Blah blah blah. I don't know about the perfume, and I don't know about this app, but I know I don't know anything about what you just said about the pizza, but when you said pizza, and I imagined he's opening up a chain of like a pizza restaurant, or maybe like those frozen pizza things, I would go out and fucking taste his pizza. I would want to know what this is, and if it was good, I think that's where he's gonna be sitting on a bag.
I think it might be D2C pizza.
No, that's what I'm getting at. And so once again, I'll go back to the
direct
to
consumer frozen pizza. So you go on
Postmates.
Or
the Dispo app to order. Imagine he started rolling them together.
Also, what the fuck do I know, dude? The kid just bought a $10 million house. He's clearly doing well. You don't need my advice.
This is all conversational. This is all conversational. We can take it. Bro, listen. Let me ask you a question.
No.
Is that your answer?
No.
Let me ask you a question. Just to solidify this so everyone understands our intent. Do you want David Dobrik to sell Dispo for $1 billion?
Yes.
Abso-fucking-lutely,
yes.
I do.
Yes.
I want him to sell it for $2 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
We are simply having a conversation here about these things. And since this one is business related, I wish I'd been able to do a little more research. I didn't know this was about to come up, but U.S. trademark, Dobrik's pizza in three different categories, restaurant services, frozen pizza, and clothing. DD IP Holdings as the filing company. Trying to find some stuff. Anyways, my guess is we just saw this happen with Tyga Bites.
What?
Using Tyga Bites. So Tyga put out
his nuggets before.
And
yeah.
We just saw it also with our friend Father Kells, who now is Father's Foods.
Tyga Bites?
Yep.
From the rapper?
Yep, they're chicken nuggets.
What if it's too hot? He's like,
And Marshmallow did a...
That's different. So the reason these three are similar is because they utilize what are called ghost kitchens. In certain cities. And so if you order Tyga Bites through Postmates, there's a kitchen that is not branded. They make Tyga Bites. They make David's Pizza. They make all these different things. And the food simply comes from there. There's no brick and mortar infrastructure needed. It may be.
You got to taste this pizza.
Because
the Wahlburgers did this with Wahlburgers. Like with the right partners, you know.
Marshmallows.
Shit. I don't know. There's a lot of pizza places in the world. It's tricky when you're going up against the biggest retailers and social media platforms ever. That is hard. I think it's much easier to fulfill a need that hasn't been fulfilled yet.
I don't know what it is.
No, it's not, because that's the multi-billion-dollar thing. But if you can figure that out, bingo.
I don't know what it is, and I kind of want to say this on record so that way I can look back at it. but I have the biggest feeling that this pizza thing is going to be ginormous. I don't know what it is. I have no idea why. I feel like this pizza thing.
Holy shit. Look, Caleb, look what's coming in. Holy no. No fucking way. Oh my God.
Is that a giant mouth?
Oh my God. Y'all know who David Cho is? We'll wrap up the podcast here. Potentially the coolest dude on the planet. I was turned on to him from a Joe Rogan podcast. Hey, Milk, can you get Kev to film? I was turned on to a Joe Rogan podcast, and I DM'd him, and I was just like, "Yo, you like, who are you? Like, I love you, whatever." And then we kind of just like stayed in touch here and there. He's the guy who, instead of getting paid $60,000 for painting a mural,
he's that guy.
Yes,
on Facebook.
Yes, he took the stocks and made $150 million for his painting. Kevin, can you shoot this, bro? We've been just texting back and forth, and he's like, "Yo, this Pokemon stuff's crazy." And I said, "Yeah, like I'm trying to find a geneticist to turn me into a real life Charizard." He goes, "I got one for you. I know a costume designer who's gonna build you a Charizard costume. What are your dimensions?" And I was like, "What?" And I think I just saw this thing roll up,
bro.
And it is Kevin. It's big, right? I didn't realize it was gonna be this big. He told me he was gonna put a flamethrower in the tail, but he didn't have enough time.
I feel like you're blue balling the entire audience with that shit way of telling that story. Can you summarize it one more time?
David Cho. He's a professional artist, world traveling, just the Facebook part. Oh, okay. So he went up to Facebook, and Facebook hired him to paint a big mural on the early, I think it was one of the first Facebook HQ buildings. And who offered him?
I thought it was directly from Mark Jeff.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I thought it was one of the other guys. Who's the music guy?
Sean Parker.
Sean Parker. I think Sean Parker was like, "Hey, you know, your fee's $60K, or you can take stock options." David Cho took stock options. He made $150 million because he, are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
No fucking way, dude. He really made a Charizard costume.
Is he here or someone from his team here?
Oh my god.
Bro, that's insane.
Wait, I didn't know y'all were gonna go this hard.
That's insane.
Yeah, let's take it out. Just be careful.
Careful.
If
maybe
it breaks,
scissors?
I'll cry.
Wait, Danny, are there scissors right there?
Dude, look at the head! Look at the head!
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yo, this guy's a god.
Is that a PSA 10?
That's a PSA 10, first edition Charizard. This is actually insane.
Is this your favorite Pokemon?
Now he is.
Would you consider getting into it right now?
No. We gotta save that content for the Maverick Club. Let's go.
Wow.
All right, guys.
Wow.
We're signing off. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. We freaking love you guys. We will see you Thursday for another guest-based podcast. Again, just thanks for listening to us. We had some hot takes this episode. Let us know what you thought in the comments. Please make it constructive criticism, and let's continue the conversation.
It's been good. Especially on the Joe Coy episode. We saw you guys enjoyed that.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.